WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Wednesday to you, be it Wednesday morning here at 6:30 in the morning. Maybe it's 5:30 in the afternoon, and you've tuned on. Whatever time you've tuned in, I'm grateful that the Lord speaks to you through this program. Otherwise, I know you wouldn't keep coming back. God didn't speak to you. See, I know the secret, friends, and I share it with you, and that is that God is always broadcasting, and all we need to do is tune in to His frequency. He has a frequency, and His frequency is the Word of God. It's also the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're going to where God speaks. God speaks through His Son, and He speaks through His written Word. And I'm grateful you guys have taken the time to join me here today. We're going to hear the second part of this message now. I just preached on Sunday. We're going through the book of James at church. We had an awesome service yesterday, and you're going to hear the sermon now, at least the second part of it. If you'd like to hear the whole part of it, you can write to me, Paul at WGODradio.com. You can go to the Facebook page, Island Community Church. You'll see it uploaded. It was on live yesterday. You can download the app, WGOD Radio. It's a little blue crown. After you download that, right there on the front page is some folders of various books of the Bible. You'll see James on there. It'll be right there on top, and that'll be, you will know them by their speech, little play on words. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit, and actually, they're not all that far apart. They really are the same thing, because we're talking about, James is going to talk about the dangers of the tongue. He says in James chapter 3, verse 5, he said, even so, the tongue is a little member and it boasts great things. Verse 6, he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. And in verse 8, he says, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Boy, James just doesn't mince words, does he? So, what's the opposite? What's the alternative? We see the dangers of the tongue and how it can, and you guys know that as well. All the things that you've said that you regret saying, or all the things that someone has said to you that's penetrated deep into your soul and has caused you unspeakable hurt and pain. So what's the opposite of that? How do I come back against that? How do I combat that? What's the victory to that? That's what we're looking at here in this sermon. Okay, this is the second part of this. Enjoy this message. Once again, there's no church services tonight at Island. We'll be back normal schedule here next week. Of course, our Sunday service at 10:30. We'll be back again in the book of Luke Wednesday nights, starting a week from tonight, 6 o'clock. You'll eat the fruit thereof of that. Then again, I guess you'll eat the crab apples from the other way around too. You can either do good or evil with the words that come out of your mouth. And God is here telling you here this morning, do good with your speech. Lift people up. Lift people up. That's my message to you today, is you can either cut people down or lift them up with the words that come out of your mouth. God's message to you today is encourage people, lift them up by your speech. Speak good to people. Again, verse 9,
He says, with it, that is our tongue, with it we bless God, even the Father, and with it we curse men, which are made in the similitude, or they're made in the very image of God. We curse men made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. These things ought not so to be. And now, to show you how impossible it is to be a Christ follower and to do both, he gives you two examples. Let me say that again. To show you how impossible it is to be a Christ follower and to do both of these, he gives two examples. Verse 11, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Of course not. That can't happen. It should be one or the other. Just like verse 12. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. I guess he's never been into the Mosquito Lagoon, has he? There's enough darn sharks running around there. There's got to be something for him to breathe, drink. But for the most part, church, it's up to you. You can either bless with your tongue and with your speech, or you can curse or destroy with your tongue and with your speech. But if you slander people with your speech, you're actually autographing your own death warrant, so to speak. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Paul wrote, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, or in other words, don't kid yourself. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor blackmailers or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, a reviler is someone who slanders someone or who cuts someone down with their speech and with their tongue, and speaks constant ill will against others with their tongues. This is what a reviler is. Loiteros is the Greek word. Notice how being a practicing reviler will keep you out of heaven. Notice how being a practicing reviler is no different than a homosexual or a thief or an adulterer. This is all the same to him. If that describes you, if you are a practicing reviler that cuts people down for a lifestyle, you're no different than the other. You'll never see the inside of heaven when that describes you. Everyone hear that okay? So I have Danny turn the sound up. Can you hear it, Pastor? If you are a practicing reviler, that is, you cut people down with your tongue for a lifestyle, heaven is not in your future. And it's time to change that. See, the greatest thing is you can change right here and now. This doesn't have to, as well as every sermon I ever preach. As long as there's a heart beating in you to hear what I'm preaching, you got time and the opportunity to make it right. It's easy to be a reviler in this evil world. Make it right. Like Mike Holmes says, make it right. Who fixes houses that people destroy, make it right. Make it right. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you today of being a reviler, so you're a reviler. Make it right. Make it right, and you'll walk out here as pure as the driven snow. You'll be as clean as Jesus. At least until you get to the end of the parking lot. Right? His blood can clean and cleanse and obliterate all, not just some, all of our sins. That's good news. You can walk out of this church clean. That is good news. I'm serious. I'm getting excited now. It's time to start blessing with your speech. Like God does us. Listen to this. This is the way you are to bless the children of Israel. God says to Moses, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. This is what God thinks of you. This is what he tells his leaders to do to the people, because this is what God thinks about you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make or cause his face to shine down on all of you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you I'm sorry, I just can't contain myself. It makes all my problems seem so small. It's Psalm 34, friends. Come, let us magnify the Lord together. Makes our problems this small. Let's start blessing people with our speech. Jesus said, for every idle word men shall speak, they'll give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:36. Okay, let's turn to one more place this morning. Let's turn to, of course, the book of Romans, chapter 12. The answer to everything is in Romans. This is where we go to learn how to do the Christian life right. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. Again, my sermon title, you will know them, that is Christ followers, you will know them by their speech. Reminds me of that old story. I probably won't be able to quote it right. Some lady goes buzzing around town, yelling, screaming, swearing. And she has a bumper sticker on her car that says, I love Jesus. And the cop pulls her over. And she got all mad at him. He goes, I'm sorry. I thought this car was stolen. They'll know you by your speech, by what kind of gold or trash comes out of your mouth. Three commands, Romans 12:9. Not suggestions. Oh, do this. No, do this. Commands means do them. Let love be without hypocrisy. You know what a hypocrite was? It's a Greek word. It was an actor in a play. And they had a face, you know, as you open wide, to put that big stick in you and make you throw up. And a face on it. And he put that in front of his face. That was what a hypocrite, that is what the hypocrite was. He was a false face. He was a play actor pretending to be something that he's not. Jesus said, outside will be all the hypocrites. Outside of the kingdom, that is, looking in. Like my window when it frosts up at the radio station. Yeah, looking like that. Try to see who's inside. That's how it's going to be in the kingdom. On frosty glass. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So, let love be without hypocrisy. That is genuine love. Don't say I love you when deep down you don't. You're better off just not saying it until you do. And Jesus will help you with that until you do. And then you can be genuine and come out of your mouth and mean it. I love you too. You know, I always have a hard time when men say to me, I love you. Maybe it's just growing up in Jersey or something. I don't know. You know? Oh, Bob, I love you too. I don't know, I just have a... But I'm working on that, you see. I'm better because I get it now and I understand, you know. But then again, others have just ruined everything. You know what I mean? Same as the rainbow and everything else. Abhor or hate what is evil. How are you doing with that one? Do you hate what is evil? Like lying, deception, abortion, ripping people off, abusing children? How are you on that one, abusing children? Number three, cling like static to what is good. Like the old Abbott and Costello's, when Costello gets scared, he'd go like this to Abbott and he wouldn't let go. That ought to be your attitude to what is good. Cling it, wrap your arms around it, and don't let go. And yet Jesus said, no one is good but one. God. God is good. Church, I'm sharing you this morning how to do it right. Instead of being one of the bad people James is describing, let's be one of the good people Paul is describing. Amen? Verse 10, and two more Greek words for love. Philostorge and Philadelphia. He says, be kindly affectionate with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. That is, after you. No, after you. Remember the old cartoon? After you. No, after you. What color you want the carpet? Green. How about you? Blue, yellow, purple, orange. In honor, preferring one another. It's Philippians 2:2. Fulfill my joy by you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, not in one accord, but of one accord. You all couldn't fit in one accord. Let nothing be done through strife, and vainglory. Glory means praise. Vain means worthless. That's worthless glory. That means doing something for you instead of for him. Anything you do that brings you glory is rubble. And won't pass muster. Won't stand the heat. When the heat and the flames, the purifying fire comes on it, it won't pass muster anything you've done. Only what's done for Christ will last. Like that song, right? When all in life is done and past, only what's done for Christ will last. You will know them by their speech. Us Christians, let's soak in these positive virtues, positive vibes. Leave the hate to the political disciples out here on the street today. Jesus said, and that song, there's a, what am I, the singer around here today? They will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. John 13:35, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. 1 John 3:14, by this we know we've passed from death unto life. We love the brethren. You want some evidence of your salvation? There it is. And the opposite, turn on CNN. And you'll see an evil rage. Jesus is calling you to come out from among them, he says, and be separate and touch not what is unclean, and I will receive you. Come out of this evil world. Don't be associated with these fools out here in the world. I say that lightly because I want them to know Jesus like I do. I'm the fool. Verse 11 from Romans 12. Three more things to work into our demeanor. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I love the way that King James says, not slothful in business. Slothful is the same word sometimes translated in the King James as sluggard. Like, look to the ant, thou sluggard. I love that verse. You sluggard. Don't be a sluggard in your business. Not your airplane business. Your business with mankind out here. The soul business. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. If you went into a Greek shower, instead of H and C, you'd see a P instead of an H. Sucros, it means fervent. It means to be on fire. That means to be a hot. It means to be on fire for God. Fervent in spirit. So don't be a sluggard in diligence. Or really, the word means zeal, which leads us to be fervent in spirit, to be on fire for God, to be boiling hot. Let's you and I be fervent in spirit today and not cold and not lukewarm either. The cold person looks around here and does nothing. The lukewarm person does it half-heartedly, with half a heart and half an effort. And Jesus said that kind of attitude just makes me want to vomit, to use his own words. To be lukewarm is to be the same temperature as your surroundings. It's when you let all of these evil out here influence your zeal and who you are. Makes you lukewarm when you act like them, when you're afraid to offend anyone. I got a letter in my office from 2 weeks ago from the local gay and lesbian and transgender society telling me to shut up or else. I just wish they knew Jesus like I did, because I used to be worse than them. I was a reviler amongst a long, whole big list of things I used to be. But thank God, I recognize God opened my eyes to see that God demonstrated his own love towards Paul Esposito, that while Paul Esposito was a sinner, I recognized my Savior died for me. And that's good news. So I don't hate. See, this is where you misunderstand when you write to me a letter. I don't hate you. I love you. I want the smoke to clear from your eyes so that you can see that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you because he loves you. He loves you as much as me. He's no respecter of persons. I'm no better than you. I just happen to see. And I pray that you would too. God loves you so much, he let his son die naked on the cross because he loves you. We don't hate anyone. Turn on CNN, you'll see plenty of hate. Come into here, you'll see plenty of love. Because we're known by our love for people, not by our hate. Turn the news on to find out about that. Not here, not in this house. Not in this house. This house is full of grateful people who are grateful for what the Son of God did by dying in their place. Verses 12 and 13, more commands to help us towards victorious Christian living. And verse 12, look at this excellent list. Put these qualities into your life. And if you ran into James in a Greek diner, the man would buy you a cup of coffee or tea. I want to be praised by these guys when I die and leave this world. How about you? Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. I'm in Romans 12. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. That means hang in there, Christian. Hang in there. It's an evil world. Wants your soul, but hang in there. Continuing steadfast in prayer. That's keep them prayers coming, folks. Don't give up now because it's hot in the kitchen. Keep them prayers coming. God is the answer. He hears your prayers. He's just not going to answer many times in your time. He answers in his own time. A Christian is known for these attributes. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints. That is, if you forgot it, the offering plate's right back there. If you forgot to put something in it, you can go back there and put 2 cents in it and mean it. And God will turn that 2 cents, because he's God. He's got the capability of doing this, of taking your 2 cents and making more out of it than everything else that's in there by putting your 2 cents in there and meaning it. That God, this is all that I have right now, and I'm giving you all that I have, my 2 cents. That is distributing to the needs of the saints. People come in here Saturday, they don't have a loaf of bread. Given to hospitality. That is, stay here tonight. Got no place to sleep? Stay here, I'll put you up. I'll pay for a little something for you. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. So I encourage you, church. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Let's you and I use our speech to build people up and not destroy them. And we have a guide right here of some wonderful Christian values to strive to attain here. You will know them by their speech. Or as our Lord Jesus put it, you will know them by their fruit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness or goodness. And Paul added his three: faith, hope. Come on, how many of you people were married out of 1 Corinthians 13? Faith, hope, and... But the greatest of these is love. And that is how you recognize a Christian. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you in this house. We praise you so much. We love you. We declare to you we love you and we mean it, because we're grateful for what you've done by saving us. 7 billion unbelievers in the world, and you saved us. We return to give you glory here today. And like Isaiah, we say, here am I, here are we. Use us. Use me today to help share these great truths with someone. Help us to have mercy on haters. Help us to follow your word when it's difficult to follow. To love those. Bless those that persecute us. Bless and do not curse. It's difficult to do, but we knew with your power and strength we can do all things. We love you. We praise you in the house here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Some people say faith moves mountains. That is not true. It is God that moves mountains. The Bible in Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. There's nothing mystical or magical about believing. Faith is no better than its object. Faith and faith is nothing but positive thinking. You put faith in positive thinking, you're going to get discouraged. There are people who tell you that if you believe it, you can achieve it and all of this. And they tell salesmen this, and they tell athletes this, and they tell all these people this, but that's just simply not true. And just because you think you can do it, you cannot do it. And after a while, you're going to find yourself so discouraged, and Satan is going to say to you, you really don't have what it takes. Weak faith in the right object is better than misplaced faith in any object. Weak faith in God is better than strong faith in anything else. Don't get the idea that because your faith is weak, that it won't work. Faith is what counts. It's not the size of your faith, it's the object of your faith